Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and it is another solo run. James is dodging me again. Yet, actually, James had a slightly better record than me, but we don't need to talk about that. But like we said in the NFL pod, James under the weather. But have no fear, you'll get all of his winning picks and more. Hopefully no losing ones on Twitter. So make sure you go follow us there, at the Sharp Side Pod. We thank you for everyone who's following along. Week 2, college football, in review. I did make a point to mention, James did kind of go off last week, which is good, especially after how poorly he did week 1, so he needed that. But Alabama, Texas, gotta talk about it. I feel vindicated for over the past 2 years, or I guess year and a half, because first year I did this, I was all on board, throughout Bama, 4-1 to win the Natty mid-season. Last year, I was cautioning everyone. Said there's a whole lot of unknown with this current Bama team because of all they lost. And receivers, I was wrong on last year, but I questioned that O-line. And it sucked last year. And ultimately, it bit them in the bottom in the national championship. And coming into this year, I said the same thing. Wide receivers, question marks. O-line, question marks. And even through all of what they added in the transfer portal at corner, with Eli Ricks, you know, they're bringing up all these good, you know, freshmen, five-star guys. Well, it looks like they're adding them for a reason. And their corners have so far stunk too. And so, poor showing from the offensive line, poor showing from the wide receivers, poor showing from the corners. If I think it's fair to say if Quinn Ewers does not get hurt, Texas wins that game by 10 points, by 7 points. If Bryce Young is an absolute superhero on the football field, which Nick Saban should be thanking every deity known to man for what Bryce Young does, because he has bailed him out several times over the past 2 years, and he's an equalizer. I mean, you have no edge with him. I think this greatest of all time, you know, best Saban Alabama team that he's ever had. It's not that kind of team. And there's just too many holes, and I just don't know if they'll be able to plug all of those holes by January. This is still a playoff team. Let's be real. They're probably going to go, you know, I would expect one loss, kind of, you know, one bumpy game along the ride. But there are some caution signs for sure. Texas looked great. They were beastly up front, just bullied them. And it's even on their offensive line, it really showed. They looked just gassed at the end. But they held pretty tough with two freshmen starting against Will Anderson and, you know, Will Anderson friends. And so I think there's should be definitely cause for optimism for Texas. It stinks that Ewers probably out. I think I saw 4 to 6 weeks, which is a bummer. You know, you want to see all the talented players play. With all the injury stuff they had to go through, especially early this year, it's a good signs for, I mean, I'm not a Texas fan. I don't care, really. But I think that program should have a lot to be excited for, especially as they go to the SEC too, where they just stood strong against the top gun. So that's really my main takeaway. I mean, like Notre Dame lost, Texas A&M lost. There's some big upsets, which I think it shows the talent disparity a little bit. I think Texas showed that maybe the elite of the elite aren't so far, you know, aren't as high as they are, and maybe it's just the middle of the pack is a little bit lower. So I don't think that there's really a whole lot of level shifting that we need to do, but yeah, just upsets. Bama, Texas it was some good football. I wouldn't necessarily say it was this like groundbreaking week of college football, but we're 2 weeks in and I'm ready to debut a power rankings of sort. Going to get through this very quickly. We're going to start with Georgia. I think I said at the start of the year, they're the most talented team in the nation, and they're very well coached. And there's nowhere any team will have a sort of a positional advantage. Maybe Ohio State at receiver, but even all those guys are banged up. And the Georgia cornerback room is really good. So I wouldn't necessarily even say that. Next, at 2, I have Alabama. I promise this isn't me playing both sides, because I'm going to say that they have the most room to slide down this list. Number 3 is going to be a little hot takey, I will admit. especially because they haven't played anyone. But I'm going Michigan. Their defense has not taken a huge step back from, you know, just passing the eye test on the field. Defensive line is still dominant. In fact, I think that, you know, there's room for it to potentially be like as good, if not better, of a defense than last year because their secondary is looking so good. And you're upgrading a quarterback. So I think J.J. McCarthy is better than Cade McNamara. If something goes wrong, then you still have Cade McNamara to fall back on. This team has a super high floor, a really easy schedule. They're definitely, I think they're going to be 11-0 going to Columbus to play Ohio State, who was the fourth team on this list. Right now, I'm putting them fourth because they're just so banged up right now. Jackson Smith and Jigba and Julian Fleming, I believe, both hurt at receiver, as well as someone else. And, you know, they're so deep there, it doesn't really matter. I think this team has the most room to rise on this list. I think Notre Dame losing to Marshall kind of just puts a little bit of a damper on that win. But I still think like that defense showed the hell up. But and now it kind of begs the question of how well the defense actually played just because Marshall held Notre Dame to 21 points, I think it was. So, and then my fifth best team, according to me, I guess it's a little, I wouldn't necessarily say it's hot takey because this is just the best of the rest, but I'm going with Tennessee. There's studs everywhere on offense. Love Hendon Hooker at quarterback. The pass rush and defensive line are absolutely violent. And I just hope that they find a little bit more consistency in secondary linebacker. Not that it's bad. They got a lot of really talented athletes all over the defensive side of the ball. But definitely going to, if you want to hang with any of the four teams listed in front, you're just going to, secondary is going to need to step up just because of all the talent at receiver, maybe saving Alabama, but they got Bryce Young, so who cares. So moving on to bets for college football week 3. And I'm starting this off with a Friday game where I'm going, I bet Florida State -1.5. I like 2.5 too. No real difference to me. So far this year in two games, the offense has impressed the hell out of me. And I'm really all in on Mike Norvell. I think Jordan Travis is the best quarterback in the ACC. And they also, and at Florida State might have the best collection of receivers in the ACC. I think I might have said SEC just now. But and I also, I think their Florida State running game is just going to absolutely brutalize Louisville's awful rush defense. Of course, Malik Cunningham is the great equalizer in this game. But personally, I just think that Louisville lacks way too much talent on defense to score enough. If getting into a shootout of sorts, I mean, sure, Louisville's offense is okay. Offensive lines, whatever. But, you know, they got skill talent. I don't think they're going to be able to score enough on Florida State. I think Florida State's offense is better. And Florida State just has a way more talented defense. The front seven is amazing, and the secondary is very solid as well. So give me Florida State, -1.5. That is on Friday night. Next up, we're going Notre Dame, -11. I still think this team is talented. And Buckner out is maybe for the best. It just didn't really seem like what they wanted to do with all like the RPO and sort of short field passing was really working. And so you kind of go to like the more pocket passer build guy and Drew Pine. And it's, I think this line is just way off. It's 11. I think it should be 17. If there's no pick six last week and Notre Dame wins, this is 17, 14.5 maybe. This Cal team stinks. Their offense doesn't score. They should have lost to UNLV last week. I think UNLV might have outgained them, and there are a couple very costly turnovers for UNLV and unopportune spots. But it's a talent disadvantage. I don't think Cal's going to score more than 13 points, and Notre Dame is going to see a much better effort, both defensively and offensively this week for sure. So Notre Dame, -11. Next up, Minnesota, -27.5. They are at home, hosting Colorado. This is very simple. I'm going to keep this short. Colorado is arguably the worst rushing defense in all of Power 5, and Minnesota runs the ball more than anyone except for military academies. So, and they run it well and efficiently, too. And then finally, Minnesota's defense is very sturdy, and they're going to wreak havoc up front on what is just a terrible Colorado offensive line. I'm going to quick score prediction, 45-7. So Minnesota, I'm saying Minnesota by 38. I would bet that up to 28. So 28 and a half is where I'd stop. Moving on to Texas Tech getting 10 and a half points, and I'm going to be rolling with the Red Raiders as well as on the money line too at 3-1. They play, I think NC State's the most overrated Power 5 team. And no, I can't say that. Forget I said that. But I do think NC State is overrated. I'm not a fan of this offense whatsoever, especially against a Texas Tech defense that is pretty, pretty solid. I think much better than people anticipated. And this just, it looks a lot like the ECU matchup with an identical line, except Texas Tech is a way better quarterback. He has the dual threat ability, just like Horton Ehlers did, in a better schemed offense with comparable offensive talent, and he makes better decisions. And so I think they're going to be able to move the ball and score on NC State. And finally, the defense has been very, very good, where you got, you know, pass rushers who are, you know, likely to be drafted, and it's, there's something brewing. There's something brewing down in Lubbock, Texas, and I want to get in on it. So, unfortunately, this is not a home game for Texas Tech. But also, what a great win last week. Being that Houston is, I mean, they were people's, you know, Cincinnati of last year pick, which not exactly looking great, but Houston's a very good football team, and I maybe even better than NC State, too. So, Texas Tech, plus 10, plus 300 on the money line. Moving on to Bowling Green. This is very simple. I'm fading Marshall after it's just a hangover. You just beat Notre Dame. That's probably Marshall's biggest win outside of any conference championship. And actually, that might be bigger than any conference championship win. But they're getting 17, which I love. But I'm also going to, you know, tickle the money line at 6-1 a little bit. Offense is good. There's talent on deep. Okay, I got to slow down. Bowling Green's still terrible, but it's a terrible spot. And we saw Marshall beat Notre Dame last week. And I think it's still early in the season enough to the point where I actually have a future on Bowling Green to win the MAC. I think it was at 60-1. And this is the kind of spot that which is why I love betting college football. And I think that Marshall's going to come out pretty slow. I think maybe Bowling Green first half money line might be a better option. And this is a good bet because I will either know if I am in it or if I'm out of it in probably the first like 5 to 7 minutes of this game. There's not a whole lot on the field. It's just Marshall had to go up against a very physical, bruising team. And now you take on Bowling Green, who you're probably looking past. Let's see who they play next. I didn't even think about that. And next week they have Troy, who is supposed to be a contender in that conference. And it's their first Sun Belt conference game, too, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not really a look ahead per se, but something to keep in mind. Finally, Houston, Kansas, over 57.5. This Houston defense is good, but this Kansas defense is still pretty bad. I really like the Kansas offense. I really still really like Houston's offense. I think Dana, I can't believe I have money on another Houston game. Dana's so dumb. It just throw the ball downfield. Your receivers are more talented than opposing teams' secondaries, save for like 20 teams, 15 teams, and he refuses to throw the ball downfield, which makes no sense. Clayton Tune's very good, and he's going to have a lot of time to throw in this game. I expect this, you know, 42-35 kind of deal. I think 57.5 is way too small, especially after Kansas game last week. And Kansas has just shown that they just keep their foot on the gas pedal also, and they're running. Like, they're playing pretty quickly. I love Kansas' quarterback too, Jalen Daniels, I think his name is. He's a beast. So Houston, Kansas, over 57.5. Thought that should have been 61. Really quickly, I'm going to touch just very briefly on four, what I think are the four biggest games of the week. We'll start at College Station, where Texas A&M off their big loss. I bet Texas A&M minus 5.5. They're hosting Miami. I do not know where that total is. Let's see. Did it get pulled? Oh, I think guess he got pulled off the board. Oh no, here it is. Total's at 44.5. I would lean to the over, which is more of just like a. I think it's a lot of money's gone to the under. I think it's kind of time to play it back a little bit. That being said, it's just a no play for me. It's Miami loses arguably its second most important player in Xavier Restrepo. He is out indefinitely, and he's so important in the little flex mesh offense that. What's his name? The old Michigan offensive coordinator escapes me, but what he runs, Josh Gattis is his name, and like he opens up so much for the outside receivers who aren't that good, mind you, and with him out, it's going to be really hard for Tyler Van Dyke to kind of get into a rhythm. I think Texas A&M had a bunch of quarterback pressures, but I right hand up, I was way wrong on this. Chase Bryce did just enough. And they're able to move the ball incrementally, which Miami also doesn't have a great running game, which I don't think that A&M is going to allow Miami to sort of matriculate the ball down the field much. I would hope that if Haynes King doesn't really show anything, you move on. I wanted him to start. I just kind of preferred his upside. I mean, I wanted Connor Weigman just to start, but I understand why Jimbo didn't do that. Jimbo, he needs to update his offense also, but you can hear that anywhere. And then A&M's just going to win the trenches. And I don't know if Miami's going to have much of a say in that. I can't believe A&M sort of, blew that to App State like that. But it's the sport. It's how it goes. They're clearly looking ahead to Miami, who I think they'll be very prepared and very hungry. All the comments from the seniors on the team were, no one was caring enough, and it's going to, it's changing this week. We need to do a better job leading. So I'm expecting an all-out A&M effort. I think they win pretty comfy by, I'll say, A&M by 14. So A&M minus 5.5 is where I'd go there. Penn State at Auburn, I've got nothing here. Auburn is going to let Penn State run the ball. Sean Clifford sucks against good teams. I think Auburn's a pretty good team. Like, that would lead me to think Auburn plus the points, especially on the road or at home for Auburn. But I think, I don't know, it's tough. I'm talking myself into Auburn plus 3 right now, actually. We'll see, we'll see. I will be tweeting out all my bets. I'll try Friday night, Friday evening. But, nah, nothing for me here. Auburn's got just a lot of program problems still. And I really hate their quarterback situation. But I do like Brian Harsin. I think he's a good coach. I also think he's handling his current situation as good as anyone can. Just that he's not really paying attention to it, which that's better than commenting on it every single week. Michigan State at Washington. Washington laying 3.5. Total is at 56.5. I know James bet Washington. I'm not a fan. I think we may have a little side bet on this game, but give me the hook. And bet Jalen Berger over. Rushing over yards again. That dude is a beast. Washington's rush defense has really kind of sucked, especially against Kent State. That game was. You can't let Kent State move the ball like that on you, especially as Washington with a really talented defense. And it appears that maybe I'm just a little off on that. But Michigan State has that big play ability that I love. And Kent State kind of had that. And eight. And now, I mean, Washington still beat Kent State by 26 points or so, but I don't know. It's 3.5 feels like a little too much. Man, I'm gonna have a lot of action this week. This is no good. This is no good. But so I guess I'm rolling with Michigan State plus 3.5. I just three, I would 2.5, I'd stay away, but give me that hook all day long, especially Mel Tucker. He's gonna keep Michigan State in that game. I'm kind of buying in on him. I was a hater of his for a while, but. He's changing me. He's swaying me. So Michigan State plus 3.5 in that game. Moving on to final game of the night. Fresno did not get home for us last week, but they are getting 12.5 at USC. Total's at 73.5. I think this is going to be could be one of the games of the day. USC's defense kind of stinks. They have been very opportunistic, which is good. They make great plays on the ball, but they've been very fortunate. I think they have three or four defensive scores so far this year. And you just can't expect that every single game, especially against a really good quarterback. Like Fresno State's offense, I don't really want anything. Total's a bit high for me here. Caleb Williams is my Heisman front runner right now. He's not being priced like that. So if you like USC this week, bet Caleb Williams will win the Heisman. I think that could go a little bit. Obviously, they're not really correlated, but I think a big performance here would make him the favorite, and I expect that. So Fresno State's defense just was not up to snuff against Oregon State, and I think it's going to be exposed just a little bit here. Fresno State actually reminds me a lot of what Stanford can do offensively. So nothing for me there. That'll be it. Just a real quick one. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Spotify, and follow us on Twitter @TheSharpSidePod, as I mentioned before. Thank you guys for listening. Let's go win some money.